You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
Live from Universal Studios Hollywood in beautiful Los Angeles, California.
This is About Last Night with Brad Williams and Adam Ray
on the Toad Hop Network.
Yeah. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the About Last Night podcast. My name's Adam Ray, your host and co-host, but today I'm your main host, your main dude. Brad Williams is on sabbatical. He's becoming a rabbi, the first midget rabbi on the planet. That's not true. Well, you know what? I say that in jest, but I honestly hope that's what he's doing. But he's on the road doing stand-up comedy like he does. Filling in for me today are my pals Sandy Danto.
Hello, everybody.
Hilarious comedian, sketch comedy actor, voiceover artist, opens for the great Pauly Shore on the road.
Yeah, I do stuff. Yeah.
My friend Mark.
Dude, you're going to introduce me too?
Yeah, Pauly, thanks for being here today.
What's up, bro?
We appreciate you coming by, Pauly. Also, my very good friend Mark Saratella, hilarious stand-up comedian, actor, runs one of the most popular comedy shows in the country, Comedy Juice, at the Improv, the Ice House, the Irvine Improv, New York, San Diego. What's up, buddy?
It's good to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
And talking to the mic more.
Yeah, not better. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
A little assist.
A little assist.
Yeah.
Gloves in.
Starting off the show a little nervous. This is only my 400th podcast.
Oh,
so
shit.
I'm rounding to form.
Oh, you sound good. Yeah. You sound comfortable. You sound confident.
Feel good.
Appreciate you guys being here. Brad's on the road, so we got to step it up with. Yeah, you all right over there?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm coming into it now. I'm fine.
Good. Yeah. So I'm in town for a week. I wasn't supposed to be here, right? Because I'm doing. I booked my first movie, a cop comedy with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy.
Dude, how old are you?
30.
Dude, I was a big fucking movie star by then. You better catch up.
Well, Paul, I didn't bring you on so that you could make me feel shitty about where I'm at in my career.
Dude, I'm just trying to, you know, motivate you.
Where were you at 30?
Dude, I was already past my prime, bro. It was already over.
Any advice on how I should deal with Sandra Bullock?
Just squeeze her arm and say, "What's up, babe?"
I don't know if that's good advice.
Dude, just tell her I say hi and she'll like you.
Fair enough.
We opened Planet Hollywood in Guatemala together.
What's on the menu there?
Captain Crunch Tacos. Jennifer Lopez Fajitas.
That's
Antonio Banderas Spaghetti.
Raven Simone Mashed Potatoes. So I'm in town for a week, and we got to do a show. And quite honestly, you're in L.A., you're in Hollywood, you do these podcasts. Not only in general do you run into big movie stars around in Hollywood. You know, I...
Like me.
Like you, Pauly. You're everywhere. Literally everywhere.
I know, bro. Omaha, Nebraska.
Before our show today, a gentleman was doing his political show, and we asked him to stick around. You might know him from Goonies. You might know him as Rudy. You might know him from The Lord of the Rings. You might know him from Click. You might know him from Encino Man, which Pauly...
Dude, that's where we got our start together, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to About Last Night. This is fucking incredible. Mr. Sean Astin, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Yes. Thank you for being here.
Guy walks into a bar.
It's a comedy show, right?
Yeah.
I'm spent. I'm done. That's it. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Wait.
Okay, sorry.
Do you feel now? I was asking you if you, we're all stand-up comedians, and you're obviously done several comedies. Do you? Are you interested in the stand-up world? Like, do you have friends that do stand-up? Have you ever tried it?
I thought the whole thing about stand-up comics was they were kind of didn't have. Friends are kind of loner type people, but maybe
well,
the last.
We're all each other's only friends, right. So this is pretty much.
Well, no, you have like self interested reasons for being here,
yeah.
So it's like the comedy, like you're there for you, but since you're there together, you'd be nice to each other, that
yeah.
kind of a thing.
Right.
No, I love comics, and I love My mom used to always say, "You'd be a great stand-up comic. You ought to go on stage. You ought to be a stand-up comic." So I it's a different discipline. I don't think I'm, you know.
It is. You have to give yourself over to it. I mean, I've sacrificed relationships. You sacrifice
just the way of
free
thinking,
time.
just the way you sort of look at the world. I
totally.
Mean, I would take 15 minutes to come up with Jennifer Lopez fajitas.
Wow.
Well, thank you.
No, it's great.
So you grew up in Santa. You were born in Santa Monica.
Yeah, born in Santa Monica. Yeah. Wow. Raised in L.A., son of famous parents.
And was Goonies your first?
Goonies was the first movie. Yeah.
Dude, that's unbelievable.
It's a good way to start.
Did you say really son of famous parents?
Yeah.
Who are your parents?
Patty Duke and John Astin are my mom and dad. Awesome.
Holy shit.
Wow, look at the reverence. Did you feel that, people? Whoa. You guys are like the... In Toy Story, the claw.
What a great comparison.
Yeah.
Our admiration for Sean Astin's parents is just like Toy Story, the claw.
No, what are those little things called? You don't know the name of those things.
No, the squeak, what is it? Squeaky toys? No.
No, the machines you're talking about.
Yeah, the claw is the thing that comes down and get them, but they're the ones like, and you put them in the footlocker and you open it up and they're like, oh.
I think it's called the... The American Ripoff? Is that
the
what it's called?
The White Trash Fortune Machine.
The White Trash Fortune Machine.
Oh, my God.
Have you ever won at one of those things?
I got stuck in one of those. No, I didn't.
I've seen a video of a kid getting stuck
in
one of
those. I saw it on a show.
That could be
show.
That could be the next Goonies movie. Maybe one of your kids gets stuck in the toy claw machine.
That's a good idea. Or I was thinking that's how we get the treasure. You kind of, you know, when I will the treasure, move it over, and I didn't get it. Give me another $5, Mom. I think I can get that.
Yeah, right? Dude, all those Dave and Buster's Fun Family Fun Centers, which should be the name of one of them, Fun Family Fun Centers. The prize centers are so lopsided. I mean, you spend like, I remember I dropped maybe $200 in quarters on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, right? Or Papa Shot Basketball.
Did you just say that on purpose?
What?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
No, that's my favorite game playing it. Why?
Because there's a new cartoon coming out and I'm playing Raphael.
Shut
really?
Yeah.
Up.
I thought
that's
you were just,
awesome.
That was a thing you did. Yeah.
No. I'm a giant Ninja Turtle fan.
Hey, Raphael.
So am I.
Come on, guys. Stop talking. Start fighting.
We got to get out. We got
I had four sons. Leonardo, Donatello, Sean Astin.
That's it.
And Pauly Shore. And Pauly Shore.
Dude, I'm doing... Michelangelo, cowabunga, bro!
Michelangelo, please, we need to fight.
Wait, can we hear you, Raph? Can we have a little Splinter, Pauly, Michael, Raphael?
We'll
talk
see what we can do. Yeah.
All right,
my turtles. I have called you here today because the Shredder is back, and we need to figure out a way to stop him. Raphael, pay attention.
But Sensei, we're talking too long. Let's go fight. That's what he always says. He always wants to fight.
We cannot fight. We must learn and study and practice and then fight.
Shredder, dude. Splinter, we could use the Shredder for our pizzas. Cowabunga.
They're doing a new one now. The new Booyakasha. That's what, instead of cowabunga.
Ali
well, they
G?
Might do cowabunga too. Booyakasha. Booyakasha. Booyakasha.
Booyakasha.
Yo, isn't that Ali G's like.
Maybe.
Booyakasha. Remember he would do that thing?
Yeah. We totally ripped it. Don't tell anybody.
Nah, it's fine. That's fine. Yo, that's incredible. How
yeah,
pumped
that's
are you?
Super cool.
I'm pumped. But yeah, I stopped your point. I thought it was startling that you brought it up. But you were saying the Fun Family Fun Centers are totally lopsided.
Lopsided, because you'll spend, and I would play that Ninja Turtle game nonstop and drop, like, and then you win all these tickets.
Wait, Fun Family Fun Centers.
That's
are you talking about Dave and Buster's for kids?
Yeah.
Is there something like that out
yeah,
there?
Exactly.
So you castle, spend, free, whatever, castle, magic castle.
Castle, magic, yeah, yeah. Magic castle.
Leaps
or,
and bounds or discovery.
Leaps and
but you know what the worst
bumpers
one was?
Or bouncers.
Wait, Chuck E. Cheese?
Chuck E. Cheese.
Showbiz pizza.
Showbiz pizza. Is that still around?
No, Chuck E. Cheese absorbed it, I think.
That's bullshit. Mark worked at Chuck E. Cheese.
I did work at Chuck E. Cheese for a
while. Oh, yeah. You have a great story about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want me to go into that now? But I was just going
let me segue real quick. And though.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to talk about
no,
it.
But that's a great story.
Ferals.
For who?
I would have pegged you for Ferals.
What's that?
Remember Ferals is the one with the ice cream and
see,
they
ice
come out
scoop.
And they bum bum bum. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like
I grew
a,
up in Albany, we had Chuck E. Cheese. That's it. We had none of these other good things. But you were talking, you actually have a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles poster on your wall still.
Yeah. I have a Donatello poster from the first movie.
And by the way, Adam is 30 years old.
And I'm wearing a Reading Rainbow t-shirt, Sean. I don't know if you saw this. I was talking about this with a friend the other day. Butterflies in the sky. But I think there's a limit, and right? I'm 30. How many more years do you think I have before people go, "Wow, that guy's trying way too hard"? Or have I reset?
No.
Based on your judgmental
that shirt.
Well,
hello.
I think that.
Oh.
I think that given your schwang, your flow.
Thanks,
what
buddy.
What you got going, you got lots of room, like 48.
Oh, yeah, my God, I agree. Love that.
You might have to put the Ninja Turtles poster in a frame.
Yeah, you're right. Because it's getting ripped up. I'm not taking.
I'm not saying you'll be able to walk by a grade school freely. I'm just saying that.
Why? I got nice calves.
Exactly. That's what he's going to say between the chain link fence. I have nice calves. You're like, dude, ixnay on the abs game, bro.
Ixnay on the abs game. Oh, my God. Well, I mean, yeah, there's, you know.
The worst game at those places, the absolute worst game, I'm not even sure it's a game. I think it's just some sort of like a mental fuck you, is the coins on the ledge.
Oh, yeah.
They
that's
just
the
seem
worst.
To push coins back and forth. And I'm like, if I put 10 quarters into this thing, one may land and give me two back.
Two back. And guess what?
They're glued there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, are they really?
I don't know, but they seem
they've
like
got to be. Guess what? Did you ever try to? You were a good kid. You never shook the machine, did you?
I was short. I wouldn't have been. I played Rudy. I couldn't shake the machine.
We like pretended to accidentally bump.
Oh
into
yeah.
It.
Oh yeah. I would like. You play it and yeah. Oh jeez. And one time I knocked it and a couple fell off and I got in trouble for it. But even that machine, even if you get two quarters, you get like 10 tickets. So my point being about the prize center. I get like 1,000 tickets after like $200, right? You're like, oh, 1,000 tickets, that's a lot. What can I get at the prize center for that? I'll tell you what you can get. You can get a bouncy ball, two now and laters, and a laminated picture of Montel Jordan hugging Magic Johnson.
That sounds awesome.
For $200?
Bro, the lamination alone of that yeah. picture
you're right.
is worth
it. And that's why they take advantage of the kids, because no kid's going to be like, well, the lamination's kind of pricey, so I guess this makes sense.
By the way, can we acknowledge the moment that we just had where your cord fell out and you came over here and we did it like Eddie Van Halen, David Lee Roth style. two dudes into one microphone. That was big for me.
That was big.
That's my new credit.
Yo,
good breath.
Sean, so, I mean, really quick, I mean, can you summarize the Goonie experience? I mean, by the way, I have a Goonies poster in my room, too. That's fucking weird. All right, keep going.
Like up on the wall?
Yeah, dude. It's one of my favorite movies,
man.
I
wasn't lying about you have the ninja poster.
Yes,
too.
Dude.
It is up.
That the movie's unreal, man.
Let me
man.
Loose in your bedroom and with a Sharpie, I could increase your net worth.
Holy shit. You'll take this podcast to another level.
Do you get bugged about that movie a lot?
What movie? No.
The Goonies.
No. Oh, yeah. It may be Goonies, Rudy, and Lord of the Rings are the three I'm most known for. And they're
all...
Dude, what about Encino Man?
I get a lot of people who love Encino Man.
Me
too. I had
too.
A waiter... Yeah. That aren't in my family. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm
dude,
kidding.
My family doesn't talk to me.
Paulie, what do you want to say to Sean that you haven't seen him in a while?
It's a whole thing. I want to say, you look good. Congratulations on the continued success. But, dude, why didn't you get me in Rudy, bro?
Or Lord of the Rings.
I could have been on a horse in Lord of the Rings, buddy. No,
Paulie, I just want to say that I love you.
Dude, I love
That's
you,
it.
Too.
That's all I got. I love you.
We had wild times on the set of Encino Man.
I was a little bit... I thought I was going to be an important actor, so I was a little too full of myself then. I wish
I could
go
Goonies?
Back and... No, Encino Man. No, Encino Goonies, Man, I knew I was like Harrison Ford. In that movie, I'm like Indiana Jones, right? I mean...
For sure you are.
Yeah. Just in that movie. Unfortunately.
How, I mean, your first thing
was
Spielberg.
It was amazing. Spielberg and Dick Donner, who directed Superman. Yep. And it was, you know, it's exactly like what you'd see. You know, a lot of people say, you know, that was my childhood. You know, I actually thought coming out of that movie that that's what all movies were supposed to be. Like $75 million epic adventure films that, you know.
Yeah, of course.
That people remember forever. So I did a couple independent films. I'm like, yeah. I don't understand.
Yeah. Wait, so that was you did independent movies before Goonies?
No, after.
So
and
Goonies was your introduction.
That's
to...
That's what I'm saying.
It's the same way.
It set the standard for me.
Yeah, it's the same thing we taught Brad, you know, who's a little person. He's saying the first movie he saw was Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. He knew nothing about movies and what midgets were going to do in life. So he saw Oompa Loompas and he goes, "Oh, I guess that's what I'm going to do."
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
I would have gone for time
like,
bandits.
Wait, hold on. He said that's what I'm going to do?
He was like, I guess I'm going to have to paint my face orange, put on overalls, and work in a chocolate factory.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like he was going to become an actor and be in movies.
Because I would have gone for time bandits
have to work
and travel
in a chocolate
through
factory.
Space.
What?
I would have gone for time bandits instead and travel through space. Yeah, I wouldn't, you know. Actually, Willy Wonka, I just met the man who played the TV guy. You know what I mean?
Mikey TV?
I'm in a million pieces, Mom.
Yeah, that guy?
Yeah. He looks good now. He looks great.
Of course,
cool
he does.
Guy. And then at Comic-Con, I was sitting a foot away from Gene Wilder's costume that was being sold for thousands and thousands.
Wow.
I think it was like $70,000 for that costume.
When you gotta get it just for Jeff Richards.
No kidding.
When you go to Comic-Con, what is that like? I mean, you must be like an idol at Comic-Con.
It's a lot of people. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you went there for Lord of the Rings?
Lord of the Rings, yeah.
Dude,
and then this time for Turtles.
God. Oh, wow.
Oh, unbelievable. I met the original Shredder. I was doing a stand-up show in Santa Monica 2 weeks ago, right? Doing Ninja Turtle jokes. And I get off stage, and this guy comes up to me, a little Asian man, and he comes up. He goes, so you like the Ninja Turtles, huh? I heard you talking about them on stage. I go, love them, man. Big fan. He goes, really? Puts his hand over his face, and I immediately just go, Shredder? And he goes, yeah. And I was like, holy shit. First of all, to have the audacity to cover your face to a stranger and go, guess who it is, motherfucker? And I was like, and I lost my shit. And I go, oh, my God, man. I go, what are you doing here? Like, he's really Shredder. And he goes, oh, I live in Santa Monica. I go, you still acting? He goes, I'm trying, man. I go, how is Shredder not getting any more work? He goes, hey, tell it to the judge. I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess you're not doing comedy.
Dude, him and me both, right?
Shredder and Pauly. Maybe you guys could get together.
Dude, maybe we could
That's
do
a buddy cop
thing.
Film for sure.
this
I'll
Friday.
Go low, you go high. You know,
this Friday, two cops.
Dude, it frees, bro.
One film actor, one Ninja Turtles villain, trying to fight crime and keep the streets of Los Angeles safe.
All right, nobody move. This, you guys, wait, what am I? You have the right to remain silent?
Pauly Shore.
It's just stunning how good you are at that.
Straight to VHS tape.
Straight to VHS. No, <I'm>, yeah. This Friday, only on Disney DVD. And buy it now at the Thumbelina Combo Pack. I'm going to play something real quick, and you tell me if you remember this.
Chester Copperpot! Don't you guys see? Don't you realize? He was a pro. He never made it this far.
You're playing this
the
for me?
Yep. You remember this, Mark?
I don't remember doing this.
Oh, yeah, you were there.
What, Mike? You getting killed?
That was you.
Oh, that was me.
Look, if we keep going, someone's really going to get hurt.
How much of this do you still remember?
Maybe dead.
Oh, I could probably do most of that.
No shit?
Besides, yeah, that's a memory. You know, and people... Maybe my brother played it last week when he was guest hosting for me, and that it's my goal to get that clip played on every show.
Oh, shit! Oh, really? Oh, God.
No, you remember too.
Well, maybe I got to find a Rudy speech.
I can do a Rudy speech.
Can you really?
Sure.
Can we, dude, can you pull up some music?
Oh, you got to get it? Okay.
Yeah, we'll keep
Mark
talking.
Mark Ellis would be creaming in his pants right now.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
Our buddy,
on so many levels.
Yeah. I think he's doing the
schmoes. Maybe I shouldn't do it then.
No.
I'm doing the schmoes next week.
Well, good, great. That's Mark. That's our buddy Mark Ellis.
Yeah, Mark. So Mark, I get him to play it, and I've only got like 33 other shows to get.
There's a Rudy theme, right, that you can do the speech to?
There's the Jerry Goldsmith score.
Pull up the Jerry Goldsmith score, Gent, whatever you have to do. Obviously, I mean, it's incredible.
Hold on, let me ask you something.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Sean, because people, when we meet strangers as comics and we tell them what we do, oh, tell me a joke. And it's like so out of context and it's uncomfortable.
Or, hey, you got to meet my friend. He's hilarious.
I'm like a trick monkey.
Does it bother you to be asked to?
No, sometimes it's a you know, bummer if you're out and you're trying to do stuff. What was I doing the other day when I was really trying to avoid people? I was doing something. I can't remember what it was, but I was just trying to. Well, Comic-Con, actually. Comic-Con, because I had to get
to different
places. But you got
to expect it at that point, right?
Well, that's a different vibe. But sometimes it happens when, but, you know, like interacting with the fans and having a dynamic experience is fine. But, like, some of the time I'm on Nickelodeon's clock, and some of the time I'm on the clock for these people. And I was doing the Alpha as a sci-fi show, so I'm on their thing.
Yeah.
So, like, if I just stopped in the middle of the hall, I'd never, you know.
Sure.
You wouldn't, I'd be an attraction.
Like if somebody at the Tiki Theater asked Fred Willard to do some of his lines from A Mighty Wind, that's probably why he was
The Tiki
that.
Theater has Fred...
You didn't hear about that?
Oh,
Fred
right,
Willard
no,
got
no,
arrested.
I thought you were talking about the Enchanted Tiki Room at Disneyland.
In the Tiki Room. In the Tiki Room. By the way, that's the first time ever four dudes have sat around a circle and sang the Tiki Room
that
song.
That is not true.
Yeah, you're right.
It happens 8 times a day.
You just don't read about
it. Yeah, Fred Willard, I know.
But suppose he's going to this, like, embarrassing situation, and the guy's like, oh, yeah. Can you do some?
But you said a guy asked you to do the, was quoting to you almost the entire Encino Man movie.
Yeah, the waiter. The waiter was who's writing a script and with his friend, a pilot. Hey, you never know.
Yeah, you don't.
You never know, man. Dais with some guy who's the head of a studio, and you go, well, I was, selling posters, out of this back of my van.
Yep.
You're like, okay, you never.
Dude, do they have a name attached to it yet?
I can't tell you because I just don't trust you anymore.
I'll let you know when. all the movie it's crazy that you've been in so many movies that are iconic, right? Like, do you ever step back and just go, that's kind of crazy that, Lord of the Rings,
I think
Goonies,
there's got to be another, when's the next one coming? I feel like I'm due, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, I feel like it's, I'm not desperate about it. I just feel like, I don't know what it's going to be.
So Rudy was right after Goonies? You were what?
10 years apart.
Yeah.
Goonies, Rudy, and Lord of the Rings are 10 years apart. And it's been 10 years since Lord of the Rings.
It's been 10 years.
I like how
Lord
you just stuttered and you just said Goonie Rudy, but maybe combine the two movies for the next one. Maybe finally you take the two iconic movies and you do Goonie Rudy.
Don't you guys see? Don't you realize? If you let me in for a play, I could. I just want to dress for one game. Doing the characters as other. I had this image once. I swear I don't do drugs. But I don't have to. But like a peyote trip would be like if there was a box with all the different characters I played, watching them interact with each other.
Oh my God.
Wouldn't that be cool? You'd do that for any actor, really.
What's your favorite role of all time? Like what jumps out in the front of your mind? Best role you've done?
Great question.
I've decided with my kids now we're not doing favorites anymore because it's too hard. But those three that I mentioned, but there's one, I did a character called Two Flower. That's going to be too hard to describe this on the comedy show. It's you got like J.K. Rowling's, Tolkien, C.S. Lewis. They're those writers who are – and there's another guy named Terry Pratchett who in the rest of the English-speaking world, other than America – actually, if you go to America, if you go to like the bottom of the fantasy shelf, he's got like 20 books. And he did the 12 or 13 or more that are called the Discworld series. And he's got this idea. This is another like drug-induced thing. There's a galactic-sized turtle floating – endlessly in space.
Wow.
His name is the Great Atchewin. And on the back of the turtle rests four continent-sized elephants.
What?
And on the back of the elephants, on their backs, is the whole of the disc world, which from outer space would look like the Earth, but if you get down sideways to it, it's flat. So, and my character, Two Flower, is the first tourist to the disc world.
Awesome.
And he goes with his flower print shirt and his box camera that when he takes a picture of something, a little guy inside starts painting it. And he's like, I need more magenta.
Yeah. Holy shit.
So I had a lot of fun playing that character.
That's also, incredible. You just described Scientology.
I did. Similarly, there are assassins and wizards and brigands and all this kind of stuff like in Scientology.
Oh my God. Rudy was...
Hold on, is that out yet, by the way?
Yeah, when is it coming out?
It was a Sky TV event for England.
Where can we find it?
I don't know. Online? Google, dude.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, what can't
you find?
It's
called The Color of Magic.
Perfect.
The Color
That's
of
what
Magic.
I was looking for. Some of the Rudy experience.
Sacking a quarterback in front of 69,000 screaming Irish
fans. What was
fans.
It like walking into that stadium, first of all?
I don't know. The Touchdown Jesus thing is pretty cool.
Yep.
The building with the painting of...
Were you a football fan growing up?
Yeah, but all I knew about Notre Dame was Johnny O'Keefe on Saturdays. We'd go into his house and like he wouldn't want to play softball during Notre Dame games. That's what I knew. I didn't know much about it, that it was a big Catholic school in the middle of the country and so forth. And my wife is actually from Indiana. We got married and a few months, she was there. She was actually in Encino Man. Remember, she was in a scene with us.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Who did you, which
she
one,
was,
Robin
she was sitting
Tony?
Right by, no, no.
Oh my God.
She was sitting right next to Robin. Behind you.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, no, you were at the mountain, so what do you care?
Dude, good score, right?
I scored.
Where in Indiana?
Northern Indiana, right near Lake Michigan. It's called LaPorte or Rolling Prairie.
The
population
region.
800. The region, yeah. South Bend.
Yeah, dude.
You played there.
I played there in Mishawaka.
Yeah, Mishawaka, right there. She's right from right next to there. Yeah. So
they have a really good target there. Sorry, go on.
Let me ask you a question.
It's true.
What was more exhilarating as a movie moment for you? Running out on the field for for the first time Rudy.
The running thing would have to be the sack. That's the one to compare it to.
Okay.
The sack. Okay.
So let's take that moment. Finding the treasure in Goonies.
Which okay.
When you go down the slide finally and you get in the water and you guys see
ship?
The ship. Or discovering Brendan Fraser and a Stone Age creature.
Caveman.
Caveman.
Well, Brendan was naked, so I'd have to go with that.
Do we have any sort of ding sound effect? Because I think that's the right answer. Yeah. Wow.
He had all that like slimy stuff all over him that was meant to look like ice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying I was into him.
I'm just saying I can appreciate a nice piece of human flesh.
He was well defined.
I mean, he was really in shape at that time.
Formed up.
He had great calves.
He had great calves.
Do we have the music queued up?
If you have calves and abs, can they be cabs?
Can you?
There it is.
You could be a cab driver.
That's a good opener.
Yeah, I was working on it. It's not. They're not all great.
Do the speech after the break.
But you're just throwing it out there. Now, any news on The Hobbit? Is it coming out this year?
Yeah, it's in a few months.
Yeah, and Samwise not in it.
Samwise not in it. I don't get to be in it.
Should be. Just write it in. We should write it in.
Yeah. Well, how do we talk to Peter Jackson about getting you in it?
The internet.
Adam on
That's
Facebook.
That's gonna be my answer to everything you say. Yeah.
Google.
I believe the boat has sailed on that one. Yeah. I believe I'm in the Grey Havens now.
Yeah. Do you get a? Oh, that's right. That's great.
Actually, I don't know if Sam does get to go to the Grey Haven.
So yeah, you film?
I think he does.
It's heaven.
Now we're getting dorky. I think he does because he's tortured and he does get to go to the Grey Havens.
Mark has the biggest boner right now.
After he's the mayor for like
15 years, he has 15 kids.
He has and then he
finishes the book.
Yeah, and then he goes. Oh, he does go over.
Thank you for confirming my.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do I have to leave now? Can I stay? I finally pulled back like huge thing. And now I'm back.
By the way, Mark's our Make-A-Wish guest. I don't know if you...
I want to
I love Mark. We Make-A-Wish
is great.
Sometimes.
Yeah, man.
And he doesn't talk too much.
No, but he's got great sound bites, though.
I'm here just to compliment the show.
He threw down knowledge. That's what... So I'm
he
just
did.
Jealous.
What did you say about the mayor?
Sam, his character becomes the mayor of the Shire for many, many years afterwards and has these kids because he's immortal because he had War of the Rings, so he's alive.
I'm immortal? I'm immortal?
In the movie, right? In the show. I mean, the book. In the movie, in the show, in the book.
You learn something every time.
I'm going to jump off the globe here at Universal. As it turns out, we regret to inform you that you were not immortal. I didn't realize that Sam was immortal, so I learned something new. Thank you for that.
Yeah, he can't. Yeah.
Well, that's what we do. That's what we do on this podcast. We got to take a quick break. More with Sandy Danto, Mark Serotella, and Rudy, Mr. Sean Astin, on the About Last Night podcast. A lot more coming back. Stick around.
Rock and roll.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
The Kings can wear their crown.
The Stanley Cup comes to Los Angeles for the first time ever.
A Stanley Cup for the Los Angeles Kings.
Own the 2012 NHL Champs on Blu-ray Combo Pack and DVD.
Dustin Penner has sent the Kings to the final.
Get exclusive Blu-ray content, including extended interviews and parade celebration.
What a move by Kopitar.
Experience the historical run.
Three by Quick.
Own the official NHL Los Angeles Kings 2012 Stanley Cup Champions on Blu-ray Combo Pack and DVD July 20th.
Hey, it's Heidi and Frank for scorebig.com. There's been two ways to get tickets up until now. You can go to the venue or team site and buy your tickets directly, or you could go to the big ticket sellers, the scalpers, if the tickets for the really big events are sold out. And you can pay way, way over face value.
Who wants to do that? Who would do
Nobody!
That? That's stupid. Yeah, you don't have to do that anymore. Thanks to scorebig.com, a great website where you always pay less than retail, and you never, ever, ever pay any ticketing fees. That's scorebig.com, and you can save up to 60% on tickets.
Every ticket on the ScoreBig website is below retail price, guaranteed. Great events, Lakers, Clippers, Kings, USC, UCLA, basketball, Disney Hall, Kevin Theater. Mention specific teams in a list.
Well, you did. And I think that's perfect the way you did
Those
that.
Those were teams in Southern California, but scorebig.com is everywhere.
Everywhere.
I got a tweet from a guy saying he's got his Giants tickets and he saved 30%.
Awesome. Thanks, scorebig.com. And that's what we're talking about. Not just nosebleed seats, everything from the floor to the rafters. And again, no service or shipping fees ever. Your offer at scorebig.com is what you pay.
Always listen to retail, never any fees, scorebig.com. Then type in Heidi and Frank to get the passcode. Skip the line.
Yeah.
Start shopping right away. Get your tickets today.
VIP treatment.
Don't wait. Type in Heidi and Frank.
Do it right now. What are you still sitting here for?
scorebig.com.
Proof why I was never a cheerleader. I can't spell.
There's more proof than that.
If you haven't been listening to Joey Medina.
See, I never take a picture of my cock flaccid. I mean, that I won't do.
Oh, no.
Never.
It's a flaccid dick.
A flaccid cock looks ugly.
Just sitting there bored. Just
yes.
Like, this is the smallest version.
Looks like a little turtle just hanging out.
Just hanging out.
Flaccid dick should never see the light of day.
You know what? Matter of fact, dicks should be.
Never.
Dicks should be innies until they have to come out. Just like a fucking turtle.
Joey Medina. Thursdays at 8 Pacific. Only on the Toad Hop Network. Radio worth watching. Now back to About Last Night.
On the Toad Hop Network.
Yo. We are back. About Last Night. Here at the Toad Hop Network. Adam Ray. Sandy Danto. Mark Saratella. Mr. Sean Astin. We're talking movies. We're talking comedy. Paulie and Sean are reuniting.
And it feels so good.
Sean, where did you say your first stand-up experience was? The Laugh Factory?
First and only was the Laugh Factory, yeah.
And why?
It was the worst.
Do you remember any of the jokes? Because we were talking about that earlier.
It
about
wasn't a joke. I didn't do jokes. I did like...
Public appearance?
Well, no. I was like... I was out there. I was really out there. I was having a moment like where I wasn't quite like with reality for a minute.
Wow. We've all been there.
When was this?
This was right after Lord of the Rings came out, and the Fame thing had like really... Like,
I was just going to ask that. Wow. I mean, I can't... There's really no bigger movie in the last...
Movies, man.
Like, that was a different level of fame, where you just like...
It was unbelievable.
Talk about that, please.
Well, it's just, you know, it's like you'd expect with anybody, where you literally, there was... Now I can go out and whatever, but there was a period of time where I could go nowhere without being kind of like, people getting so excited. My daughter would call it a people storm. Daddy, is there going to be a people storm if we go to the restaurant?
Adorable.
I'm like, I don't know if we're going to be... So,
Where, like, so, aggressive fans, or, I mean, just...
Sometimes, but just even positive.
Much.
Yeah. Hey, dude, blah, blah, blah! And like, you know, all the time, it's like that.
Did you ever get Star Wars fans like, fuck you, dude?
I'm a Star Wars guy, so I agreed with them. Lord of the Rings is not
bullshit,
Star Trek.
Man.
Lord of the Rings is not Star Trek. I don't think Star Wars fans have anything against Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Chewbacca can totally take the dwarf, so, right. Like, yeah.
So it just got out of control. I mean,
it wasn't out of control. It just was a lot, and I kind of lost my balance a little bit. I think I lost my set grip on reality.
If you're not getting
bit.
Treated like a normal person on a consistent basis by people outside of the people that you're...
But I also, like, I had gotten really fat to play Samwise Gamgee, and then I really didn't want to be fat anymore. I didn't want that to be, like, my career as the fat guy, so
what
I
happened
had
to
lost,
Chris Farley?
Like, well...
I got pigeonholed, and I just ran with it. Well, I waddled with it.
Chris, where do you live?
I live in a van down by the river. Now, I was in a high-rise in Chicago. But I came back to haunt your dreams.
So you don't want to be chunky anymore.
I don't like that. I don't like that.
I don't like
it. Makes me
just
sad
watching his
scared.
Uncomfortable face.
It's pretty good though.
Thank you.
But there was just this moment where I was a little unhinged. I was financial things. Like, I didn't get paid anywhere near what you'd think for Lord of the Rings. In fact, I got like well underpaid for it. So we're gonna like lose the house that we were in, which
Jesus.
Was gonna be okay. It wasn't bad. We're gonna like get we had equity in it, so we could do another. It just was a time of real tumult, and I was wanting to direct episodes of TV. So I was quote unquote observing other directors, which is where you like follow them around, not saying anything for a week, and you can already tell that's like a hard job for me. You'd be. Dude,
yeah, Mark.
The best observer.
Where do you apply
ever.
For this job?
You just show up until somebody tells you to leave. But there was no like schedule I was following. There was no order to my life.
Sure.
I was at just any minute you can get a phone call. Boom! Now you're over here on the cover of this magazine. Now you get a phone call. Now you're waiting at the DMV for 3 hours.
Jesus,
now you
man.
And you just didn't know what you're doing. Like everybody, really, but I'm a type A, so I...
Because they did a thing with The Lord of the Rings where they had you under one contract for
the whole movies. Yeah, it was basically like one movie.
So people couldn't, like, negotiate leverage for more?
No,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
No, $250,000 for 2 years. That's it.
Wow.
Look at the look in his face. That's like how I looked when you just did Farley. That's awesome.
Yeah, Paulie, did you ever make $250,000 for a movie?
Yeah, I did. My first movie, it was with the girl from Pretty in Pink. What's her name again?
Molly Ringwald?
Yeah, Molly Ringwald. I don't remember the name.
I actually
of the
look at him like I'm actually...
Totally.
Hearing,
you
like,
forget.
If he knows the data... of what the movie was and how much he got.
Well,
and
who was your girlfriend in Encino Man that he named?
You're the Avatar. You're an Avatar. For sure.
Oh, shit.
But anyway, so I lost all this weight. So just my neurology was a little messed up,
sure.
And I was also I'm traveling down. I was kind of angry and stuff. And at a certain point, and the finances. At a certain point, my dad kept saying things to me like, "What do you really want to do?" Your dad ever say that to you? Like, "What do you really want to do?" And I was like, "I don't know." So I started thinking like, "Where is that place in your body, in your mind?" Where you go to that goes, yes, this is something I want. And like I located it. It's like right in the dead middle of your body, in the center.
Sure.
Right? And you go, do you want to pick up this microphone? Yeah, I do. I just checked.
Yeah.
I checked with that part of me, right?
Wow.
So I started like being a little extreme about it for a day. And I was like, do I want to walk over there? Do I want to pick up this cup?
Wow.
Do I want to do this? And my wife would say, like, do you want to go to dinner? And it would take me like 9 minutes. Well, I decided whether it was something like, well, I really tried to listen to myself to see if I wanted to do it.
Hey, there's a lot of value in really taking your time and making a decision.
It was an interesting experiment. Sure. But at a certain point, I realized that it was kind of a character.
Yeah, it takes way too fucking long, guy, to decide where to go to dinner. Yeah. Yeah, everybody knows that guy.
Well,
yeah.
It's
Olive Garden or BJ's. Where you want to go, Sean? Yeah.
And you feel like the weight loss affected the neurology?
I think it did. I think I was a little like spacey and stuff.
Yeah.
Why?
We just skipped over that. I didn't know like if you meant like weight loss. If you felt like
it was all part
of
it.
And brain. Okay.
I lost weight really fast.
Right.
Like I was running 2 hours a day on the treadmill, and I was down to like 1,000 calories. And like your body, when you put your body through that kind of stress, you go crazy. So I had been down at Alvera Street watching Family Law. I was freezing cold because I didn't bring a jacket. They gave me a Family Law windbreaker.
Perfect.
To wear, and then I'm sitting there, and I felt a lump
in your rectum.
Yes.
I thought you meant like the guy.
You know
next
what's great?
To me, like,
that I knew exactly.
Well, this is
a
joke.
I felt the lump. There was a hand inside of my ass.
No. Okay. Well, this is the thing.
You know what's great is I knew exactly what you were talking about.
I know,
and I haven't even had
it.
a lump or a finger up there.
So I talk to the guy who I'm following. I was like, do you think I should have that looked at? I have to go back to New Zealand and like get a week or something. And he's like, I would. So I get on the phone. I'm driving, into LA. That was downtown. So I'm driving back to like West LA, calling my doctor. Listen, I think I need to have this looked at before I leave and blah, blah, blah. So I go in there so I go into the doctor's office and he looks at it and he does the finger thing, puts the finger thing on.
What kind
there.
Of a sound does it make?
No, that's
who
not
does the
finger.
Pow?
That's the
doctor?
Glove. That's the glove.
That's
going
not
on.
The finger in the butt. That's you have to pay extra for the foot pow in the butt.
For the foot pow. Not even in a Batman comic book did a foot pow like action word pop into a bubble.
So he like goes in there and the second he does it, he says that he can tell that it's nothing. It's a
a cyst or something?
No. It's a hemorrhoid.
Jesus.
It's a hemorrhoid. No big deal.
No big deal. Creams, ointments.
Nothing.
Sleep.
Like, go home and don't be an idiot. You know?
Don't be an idiot.
Preparation.
So, but
what do you use?
Preparation.
Preparation right. H, bro. That's all right.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Is that your first attempt at a Pauly?
The first one, yeah.
That was great.
Well, it wasn't a scripted Pauly from the movie.
Right.
Wheeze and Jew. But anyhow, so the guy sticks his finger in there, right? And he says it's nothing. So I'm so relieved.
Sure.
At the moment that he says it.
Shitting everywhere.
He puts a finger there, and I kind of laugh.
Right.
Which is like breaking the doctor finger in the ass etiquette.
you don't
laugh at that, right? So then I get in the car. I'm going to go back back downtown.
Yeah.
And as I'm driving, and my mother had just the night before when I went on this whole rant on the phone with her, I had her literally peeing on the phone, saying, you have to do this as stand-up. You have to do this. You're so good at stand-up. You got to do this. So that's in my mind.
This is a great story, by the way. Holy shit.
So, this is your thing, right?
Yeah.
This is the first comic story. Okay.
Yeah, man.
So I'm driving, and what do I see? Like a beacon calling to my, newly dislocated from reality, happy to be alive, pissed off that I'm losing my house.
Sure, your mom just peed on your phone.
Peed on the phone. Right, yeah. Exactly. Her phone. So it was Laugh Factory. So I'm like, I have this moment. I'm like, this is a moment of truth. And it was raining out. I'm like, oh no.
Wow.
It's a story. I'm like, this is a story.
You know what I love about that story?
So you go on stage and you tell that story?
So I pull over. And I pull right up and I jump out. Oh, and I wanted to give the head of New Line this bottle of Sky Vodka. The reason Sky Vodka, because I was at a party and the guy from Maurice Dunbar, I think is his name, who invented it, who learned how to distill it, gave it to me. And I'm like, I'm going to get, I knew that Bob was a big drinker.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm trying to find some way to get eye to eye with those guys so that I can get more money out of them. And so I'm going to go and give him this. Like token. So the more I don't know what to carry it in. I carry it in my briefcase, my like black whatever briefcase, and that looks appropriate on the set of the TV show.
Sure.
So I stop there, give him the thing, take the briefcase, go downtown, get a thing, blah blah blah. This is my day. So then I pull over and I get out and I'm like, I'm gonna do the character. And what I'm gonna do is like I'm gonna go on stage and I'm just gonna behave. Like with I'm gonna tell the doctor story and sure. I'm gonna behave with that kind of thing. So I put the windbreaker on and I look like a crazy person.
Do they now? Do they bring you up
No. I walk up, and they go, what are you doing here? I said, I'm here to go on stage, and they're like,
They're like, in that windbreaker? No.
No. Well, they're definitely looking at me like, sure. Okay, like a guy who goes up on stage and commits suicide, like that guy, right? Like I'm holding a bag, right? That you don't know what's in it, and it doesn't look like a bag you'd normally bring to a comedy store, right?
So how many comics bring a briefcase before they go up on stage? Right.
So, but I'm doing the character. I'm nervous because I shouldn't be doing this. So so they go, what do you? I said, I think I'm pretty sure that I'm destined to be on that stage in about 20 minutes from now. And they go, what do you, and this is the kind of thing I could kind of Jedi mind trick people for a little bit for about 2 weeks. And, and the guy's like, I don't know if you're not on the list. I don't know. And so he looks over and Bob Saget walks up.
Great.
And Bob goes, Sean. Yeah. He goes, hey, Sean, what are you doing? I'm like, hey, Bob, how you doing? And I didn't want to like break the character because if he ended up like putting me on stage, I'd be like an idiot. Yep. I don't have a set or I don't have I'm just like a guy. And the only thing I know I'm going to do is this character. So,
are you method in that way or are you just
not
like,
usually?
I'm
telling you, I was hallucinating. I was like totally out of body and Jesus space and mind. So and then the big black bouncer guy looks at me and he goes, oh, he's all right. He just done seen Jesus. He's all right. He's son Jesus. Like that. And I'm like, that's exactly right. Essentially, I have. And so Bob Saget talked to me, the owner of the Laugh Factory. Who's
Jamie Masada.
Jamie Masada.
Hey, buddy, buddy.
Yeah,
hey,
buddy, come on, come on. What
buddy.
Are you doing?
Rudy,
what are you doing? Are you okay?
Do the Rudy speech.
Okay?
Yeah.
Right. And he's like, let me see in the bag. And I show him the bag. There's nothing in it. It's an empty bag. But I thought it worked for the character. And they're like, listen. So at that moment, if I would have walked on stage, it was going to be awesome. Because I was in the zone
at
that moment.
You were ready.
But right before we go on, he fucks me up. He goes, now don't get scared.
Oh, God.
And I'm like,
Bob or Jamie?
Jamie. No, Bob's just like, go do it. Bob is just like.
I was like, I put my fingers in Kimmy Gibbler. No, I'm just kidding. I put my hand in there.
Right. Exactly. So he goes, okay, when the red light goes on, you're off the stage, no matter what. I said, I need 2 minutes. He goes, if you give, after 30 seconds of the red light, you go off. I was like, okay. And he said, so you're not nervous? I said, no, I feel really good. And he says, but then he says, well, you never know. When you get out there, you get scared. And I'm like, trying to knock me off.
He's trying to fuck with you.
So I walk up there. Really, so he goes up and he says, everybody, we have a surprise, special guest. You know, Sean Astin from Rudy and Goonies and Lord of the Rings is here. And let's welcome up to Sean Astin, right? So I walk up onto the stage. Good applause. But I walk slow. And what I'm thinking to myself is, do I want to take this next step?
Yeah.
Do I want to take this next step? Do I want to look? And just before I get to the microphone, do I want to turn my head and look at him? And I turn and look, big laugh. Because it's funny. It's like a guy.
Yeah, totally.
I look like I'm like Kramer. I don't know what I'm doing.
Sure.
A thing. So then do I want to set the bag down? And they're kind of like waiting. What's he going to do?
What's he going to do next? Yeah.
So I kind of like set the bag down and lift it up. Now, on the video of it, I don't think you can hear the laughs, but I swear to God they were there.
All right, so, Sean Astin. So nobody gets a bag drop laugh.
So I stand up and I go, I just came from the doctor's office. They're always saying that. Comics, you're always going, I just got off a plane.
I just broke up with my girlfriend.
I literally just fucking came from the doctor's office seconds earlier.
Yeah.
I go, I just came from the doctor's office, and for the first time in my life, I had another man's finger in my ass, and I kind of liked it. Now, I was going to go on and say something about, like, because maybe I knew I was alive and something like that and do, like, something fun. Like just 90 seconds would have been enough to feel like I scored and walk off. And I could have gone off that fast. But then I look up and I see the lights on. I barely said anything.
Jesus.
And they were
laughing. It's part of the character. You take a lot of time. Obviously,
no,
you took 9 minutes to get on.
Okay. No, it wasn't that long. They were nervous. I think what happened was I spaced for a second.
Sure.
Like not knowing where I was going to go with it. And I think you must have sensed it or whatever. And he turns the light on. And I look up at it and it pisses me off. And I go,
of course.
Took you out of it.
I was done. Sure. I was cooked. And a guy goes,
sometimes they just leave it on from the last come.
It could be. But I looked up at and the guy, the heckler, there's like always the one guy. Sure. I honestly can't remember what.
He's like, hey, you guys.
No, that would have been fine. No, he goes, do this. Like he was pissed. Like what? Like he didn't say anything pissed, but his whole like
you
he
owed him something.
He didn't want to be there. He didn't want to be alive.
Sure, there's always that guy.
You know, he's just like, but at the same time, this is what he goes. He says, do the speech from Rudy.
Like he was literally going to do
like
something
bad. Like it still
bad.
Wouldn't make him happy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
you
just do it. I'm not going to be happy about it.
No.
It's like, what you're here for. It's what you do.
Like, you suck as a comic. Get off the fucking stage. But before you leave, can you do the Rudy thing? And so I go, well, I would, but the light's on.
Oh,
and I said,
nice.
I have to go. And I was told to get off the stage
suck
when the light's
ass,
on.
Heckler.
And I do what I'm told. And then they all start chanting, Rudy.
Okay. So that plan backfired.
And then I go back into the character.
You're like, hey, man, I ain't doing shit.
Right?
Rudy. So all right, I'll do the speech.
I turn and I look up and I look at the light and I go, the light's still not on. I go to leave and then he turns it off. So I pull up a stool and I get up on the stool. We're going to go inside, outside.
Whoa. Save it.
Oh, sorry.
Save it. What did you?
Anyhow, that was my. And then I walk out afterwards, and Saget goes, you know, that was kind of funny. It was a good start. Like I thought you were gonna say, like he left his finger in your ass, or something. Like he was like, work on it. And then the owner was like, you gotta write something.
Yeah.
You just a freestyle. If you write something, you'll be great.
You gotta
come in there. Yeah. That's what he said. I was
what
like,
a
all
great,
right.
What a
did
great
you get a
story.
Standing ovation for that speech when you were done with it?
I can't remember.
How
I was hallucinating.
Right.
I'm hallucinating now, telling the story. If you look at the video of it now, because I saw the video.
There's a video online.
I'm sure there is.
I
just look kind of like
ago?
I look off.
Really,
I look a little off.
Well, now that we have the story, like anytime you can hear the behind the scenes piece of any video, you're that much more interested to watch it. So I can't.
Well, this
wait
is the first time I've ever been able to vindicate myself.
Well,
in
it feels
comedic,
good, doesn't
professional.
It?
Professional? Is this professional?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You're not getting paid.
We're all professionals. Now you're gonna get. Do you want some of my Sprite?
No.
Okay.
You know what's good too? Like during your like celebrity meltdown, all you did is stand up. He didn't like wind up doing something terrible. It's like,
right.
I did a weird stand up set. That's not too much of a fall from grace.
Mark, what was your. Do you remember your first time on stage?
First time on stage was at.
First joke.
It was something about the Wheel of Fortune, and I thought I was going to be like Sam Kinison. I just remember screaming about, like, I pulled the wheel, and I was like, what if Sam Kinison did this? I remember screaming. My best friends were in the front row. I felt like wind down my face. Like in the room, it's always windy. Your first time, it's like something blowing
what a
on me.
Great
right now.
Experience.
And just like you, there was the light, and then I got off, and my friends were like, "That was okay." I was like,
"So you're gonna try to do this again?"
Yeah, and I was like, and then I didn't see friends for probably like 3 months. Come back to a show, and then I just remember yelling a lot.
Yeah. Because you're the first time you have nothing to go off of. You have like stuff you've seen,
a lot of
adrenaline. You're trying to like not speed through your shit. You want to make sure you say everything that you wrote down.
I think it'd be easier to be like Stephen Wright, where the character is thinking.
Yeah. Oh,
and then you say your thing, and then you think. What was your first?
Well, the first joke I did, and again, I had friends. Did you have friends come out to your show? By the way, of course you did, right?
Yeah,
the first one he said, and then they didn't come again.
Right. I mean, I feel like, too, because now it's like you could care less if you want your friends out, but that's a good joke, too, by the way, the Wheel of Fortune thing, because that's relatable to everybody. And Sam Kinison was big at the time.
No, he wasn't. He was dead.
$20! Oh! Like that?
Whoa.
Exactly.
Paulie, Sam Kinison used to come to you.
Dude, I used to open for him, and then later in his career, he opened for me.
Sam Kinison babysat Pauly Shore. He was his babysitter, so it was...
Yeah, he did cocaine off my forehead.
Oh! You wish it was your forehead!
First joke I did, I would say how I used to go into the gym at 24 Hour Fitness in Seattle when I grew up, and I would walk by, and there's always naked old men in the gym, right? And you always have to, you always got to walk by and see their old naked balls and all that stuff.
It's a eucalyptus branch.
Yeah.
Oh, this is your spam. Sorry.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm sorry.
No, that's funny. That's what I would, and that was the joke.
You just talked about.
No, I'm just pulling the penis. No, so I'd walk by, I'd see these old naked man balls. And so in the joke, I would say, you know, and I would do it, and I would be disgusted, but then I would go and have these great workouts, you know? So then in my head, I was starting to get conditioned to think that, like, I'm having these great workouts because I'm seeing 80-year-old balls before I go do my power cleans. So then now I got to the point where I was walking into the gym being like, excuse me, sir, do you mind if I see your nuts real quick? I got to try to top my bench press weight this week.
That's good.
There's some sort of beginning.
That's not
of
as
like,
realistic. I'd be home with social security porn.
Oh, way too expensive, those passwords. Sandy, what was your first?
My first? I did it at parties in college. I spent when I decided I was going to do stand-up, I spent a year writing material, and I don't think I've used any of that material.
Can I be honest with you, man? You don't seem like you partied in college.
Me?
Yeah.
You know what? I went to college with the attitude I was
totally
going to take it.
Right now.
I know. Yeah, okay. I went to obviously.
You just meant you didn't look like you went to college.
Yeah, which college, man? Were you just that dude who just showed up at college? I'm in college, too. We never
the guy in Real Genius? The guy in Real Genius who lived in the walls?
I didn't want to go to college. My parents made me, but.
Really? You went to IU?
Yeah, I went to Indiana.
Oh, that's what you're asking.
Yeah. Went to college with the attitude my partying days are behind me. I did enough of that in high school and middle school.
Middle school.
And I was like, I'm going to take this seriously. Education's really expensive. And then the first day, somebody's like, Belushi! Belushi! And then I was like, no, I don't really look like him. And then everybody called me that, and I had to live up to it after that.
Yeah, here we go again.
And college was just...
You definitely felt pressure to live up to that, huh?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I was in a new state, living on my own.
Also,
it's
immediate
time.
Acceptance, which everybody wants. If you're immediately just like, oh, here's my group, and I'm this guy, there we go. I don't have to spend college trying to figure it out.
You're like a comedic diamond. That pressure was just forging you the whole time.
Exactly. Yeah. And then that's how I came to the conclusion that I was going to do this. I was like, in college, going through six majors, I was like, what am I going to do with my life? What am I the best at? That I don't have to try that hard to do, and I could be
that's America. God and, bless America.
And I could be happy doing for the rest of my life. And I was like, then somebody walked by, they're like, what's up, Belush? And I was like, I've never had a hard time making friends or making people laugh, and I could be happy doing that the rest of my life.
You're one of the funniest people I know.
Oh, stop.
You are.
Well, my first joke was, I know I look like a famous comedian. Janine Garofalo.
That's good.
That what do you say? One. I'm not here to.
Can you do her? You can do an impression of her?
No, but I bet I could if I was more familiar with her work. Yeah, I for sure could. My first show was at Westwood Bruco.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh, I grew up there.
Really? Oh yeah, they do a comedy show in the up
almost every night of the week.
I think that was we had the premiere for Rudy there, the party premiere party.
Is you really? It's a great bar,
Gillian LeCon or wherever that is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's on the corner. There's
karaoke in that top left corner.
Now, back in the day, though. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. Yeah, but it's so good.
Yeah. And it was an open mic, but I had 20 of my friends come up.
Of course.
Open mic is harder than actual, I think.
Oh, totally. Yeah, it's way harder.
It's mostly always just comics who are judging you.
Yeah.
And we're trying to be that's a funny joke.
And then other people that haven't started doing comedy but want to judge other people and be like, oh, that doesn't look that hard. I could do that.
Yeah.
But the premise of it. The premise of the open mic is that you're not a professional.
Yeah.
The premise is that you're going to take a shot and see how you do.
Yeah.
Whereas if you go on stage, the expectation is that you need to deliver.
Yeah.
Right.
That's my feeling.
Yeah.
We've got just a few minutes left, and we mentioned this earlier, the Rudy speech, and we got the music queued up. Would you mind jumping in? Now, before we jump into it, first of all, thank you for being here. Anytime you want to come back, and I hope you do, Sean.
When do you normally do it?
Mondays from 3 to 4.
Oh, that's a drive.
Are you around? Is it a drive?
No, I'm kidding.
I'll give you gas money. I'll give you more Sprite, dude. How good was that Sprite?
Fun. This is fun. I could be an extra host.
Anytime.
Are any of these people going to listen to my show?
Yes.
Plug your
show right now.
It's called Vox Populi, Voice of the Occasionally Interested People, and it's on Thursdays at noon, and it's about politics. And it is just as fun and funny as this. No, it's not. But it's really cool.
And what do you have a Twitter?
Twitter. Sorry. At there's two.
Okay, do them.
The 40,000 fan one is at Sean Astin.
Okay.
SEANASTIN.
Yeah.
And the other one is at Host Vox Populi.
Perfect.
At Host Vox Populi.
Perfect.
Vox Populi is Latin for voice of the people.
Nice.
I don't know if comedy people know this.
Paulie knows that.
Dude, I'm fluent in Latin, bro.
Polly's the voice of the people.
Big Latin.
Sandy, plug your Twitter and your website and all that.
At Sandy Danto, spelled like the adjective, S-A-N-D-Y-D-A-N-T-O, sandydanto.com. I'm doing a show, if anyone out there listens.
This will air next Monday.
In the Detroit area, August 25th, perfect. Magic Bag in Ferndale.
Perfect.
What was the first one?
What?
The first one you said? The first thing you plugged?
My Twitter, at Sandy Danto.
Yeah, you did it like Sammy Davis Jr. At Sandy Danto, baby.
At Sandy Danto.
Yeah, yes.
All the cool cats are on Twitter, baby. Okay.
All the cool cats Mark, are on Twitter.
Best place is just my website, markscomedy.com, and I have links to all those right on the front page.
And Mark books Comedy Juice is the hottest excuse me, show in the country.
Comedy Juice?
Yeah, yes. It's me, Rabbi Schlossman from Temple Beth Shalom, and
Howie Mandel.
Howie Mandel.
Howie,
Jeff Goldblum is doing
it. Jeff Goldblum's kids are doing it. And Mark, the Comedy Juice is Wednesday in Hollywood, Thursday at Pasadena at the Ice House, Irvine Improv on Tuesdays, the Madhouse Comedy Club in San Diego. Mark's a hilarious comic. Mark, where are you performing next?
I'm actually here at Lovitz on Saturday. Oh, this is airing on Monday. Yeah. It's on my website. It's my calendar. I'm headlining in San Francisco. I'm going to New York for a week in August. I would do probably 5 to 7 shows in Hollywood every
single week. Just check
week.
Your website.
Websites, all your Facebook. Those are the best places.
I'm at Adam Ray Comedy on Twitter. All my videos, AdamRayTV.com, and shows and all my dates are on there. But I'll be doing that movie for a little while. You got any tips for me?
For doing a movie?
First movie.
Don't grab her arm.
Perfect. Ginge, we got the music queued up. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Adam Ray. Thanks for listening to About Last Night. Here's Sean Astin with the famous speech from Rudy. Let's cue that music up.
Can't remember now.
You can improvise.
I know. I'm just trying to think if I should start with the...
is there a line I need to give you?
I don't know. Well, the speech is, we're going to go inside, outside. We're going to get them on the run, boys. And once we get them on the run, we're going to keep them on the run. And then we're going to go. We're not going to stop until we get across that goal line. Today's the day. We're going to win. What do you say, man?
Yeah.
Wow. I really believed you were going to go out there. But I'm not sure this music sounds like the bit when you, I don't know where I'll be then, Rock. But I'll know about it.
Rudy, what do you want to do with your life? That's not the line. Well, how much wood could a woodchuck chuck?
When did the groundskeeper from Rudy turn into chef?
hey, Rudy, it's me, Tony Danza. Hey, where you been, buddy? Hey, Rudy, let me ask you something. When I used to, you ever see Taxi back in the day?
Of course.
What character would you have wanted to be on Taxi, Rudy?
Mario, what's her name?
Mario Jackie Joyner Kersee.
Brenner.
Mario Brenner.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Sure.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to be Louie?
You're Louie. Nobody could be Louie but you.
You're right. Nobody could have been Louie but me. But I also, I could have been Latka.
I could have been Latka. That's what I was like him when I did my Laugh Factory thing. I was Latka. I'm going to stand in front of you and not have anything to say.
Thank you very much.
We just did a Taxi Meets Rudy speech.
Mashup to close the show.
Weird.
That was unbelievable. Sean, thank you so much for being here.
I had a great time. You guys do a good thing here.
Thanks,
you,
buddy.
Shh.
Yeah, I'm going to try to calm it down for the next one.
If I come back, though, I'm going to try and switch places with you.
That's why I feel good about this podcast.
This group's coming back, by the way. This is a lot. I mean,
this is us.
This is great.
We need a name.
What's that?
We need like
for
a
this
name.
Foursome.
When it's the foursome, yeah.
Yes, and you got to come back when Brad's here too.
Oh no, I don't know if I can hang. He's funny. He's really funny.
Are you allergic to little people?
No, I mean, I don't know.
Do you like midgets?
You know, John Stamos is afraid of little. Brad met John Stamos.
That's a thing.
He's afraid of him.
What's it called? That's a clackophobia or something.
There it is. Sean, thank you so much for being here. Sandy Danto, Mark Saratello. I'm Adam Ray. This is About Last Night. And ladies and gentlemen, please try to remember our names in the morning.
Thanks, guys.
Good night.
Fun.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore.
because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.